Baseball falls in the GPAC championship match. Track and field finds success at the conference meet. And tennis has its season ended in the title match. Hello and welcome to Season 3, Episode 26 of Talkin' Dogs. I'm Kyle Ulbrich, here with Aaron Spivey. Aaron, how's it going today?
It's good and a little bit emotional, man. I mean, it's finals week. I'm getting ready to graduate. And this is basically our last Talkin' Dog episode for this season, man.
Yeah, the 2025-2026 Talkin' Dog season is coming to a close this episode. But we'll make sure it is a great one for it. What are you feeling right now?
And it's a mix of emotions. Mm-hmm. Just happiness that I did it so far. I mean, recovery from tearing my patella tendon. For those of you listening, I actually am fully cleared from physical therapy. I'm cleared from that. And just, you know, a little bit emotional because all these 4 years making friends, building memories in this life here at Concordia has just been amazing. Now It's time for you to see me go. And what a way to basically do this with you, man, getting on some stories about what happened across the week. So let's just dive right in and talk about some of the good and a little bit of the bad.
Yeah, so we'll start it off with baseball. Lots of good with baseball, a little bit of bad as well. So to catch everyone up to speed, because we didn't have an episode last week, we figured just with finals week coming up and there not being a ton of sports going on, we would save everything for today, which is Tuesday, May 5th, just so we can make sure to cover as much as possible before we both head out. So where tennis was at after our last episode, the loss to Hastings and the win against Hastings, I think that's the last thing we covered, got us into second in the GPAC standings.
Oh, you said tennis, but remember it's baseball.
Oh, baseball. Yeah, my bad. Baseball put us to second in the GPAC standings. So that gave us a great seeding going into the conference tournament. The way it worked was there are two different sides of the bracket. So us as the two seed, but like the one on our side of the bracket, and then Doan as the one overall and the one on their side of the bracket, Doan being number 10 in the country as well. So we ended up performing very well in the early stages of the tournament and into the latter stages as well. We started off the conference tournament with a 4-1 win against Mount Marty. Then we had a 12-1 win against Dakota Wesleyan. And then we played Dakota Wesleyan again in the semifinal game, and we beat them 14-5.
Jeez.
Yeah, and so we had some really good performances in that. Mount Marty especially, we had some really good work from the pitchers. Alex Johnson recorded two innings in which he had a strikeout, a walk, and allowed no runs. Harrison Hoikvam came in, got the win, three innings pitched, three hits given up, but no runs and three strikeouts. Then we had DJ Anderson come in for an electric four innings, gave up just one run, seven strikeouts. Trent Schlimm came in for the save, pitched the last 0.2 innings, and didn't allow a run, just allowed one hit in his inning.
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah,
that's
so really good from those guys. Batting, we had a home run from Bronx Lewis. Bronx Lewis, a guy who was very dangerous offensively coming down the stretch of the season. Bronx got an RBI, Luke Wilson pulled in two, and then Andrew Fetty had that last one. Looking at the games against Dakota Wesleyan, again, really good on the pitching side. We had Micah Sweetin come in all seven innings in that first Dakota Wesleyan game. Six hits given up, just one run, walked three, struck out 14.
Wow.
Incredible performance from him.
That's incredible.
14 batters struck out over 117 pitches. Also, batting, really good. Bronx Lewis, another home run. Luke Wilson, Carson Burnett each had home runs. Jake Watson had three RBIs. Carson Burnett with four. Luke Wilson with two. A couple other guys pulling in some RBIs as well. That was game two of the tournament. Game three now, the 14-5 win against Dakota Wesleyan. So not quite as good on the pitching side, but still, you know, giving up five innings, that's not too bad.
Right.
Caden Bugarski got the start on the mound, three innings pitched, gave up four runs, struck out four batters. Then Devin Gonner came in, got the win, his fourth of the season, pitched four innings, allowed just four hits and one run, struck out two. Then Trent Schlimm and Warren Rose both came in relief, didn't allow a run, got three strikeouts between the two of them. And then that brought us to the GPAC title match against, like I mentioned, number 10 in the country, Doan.
Yep.
And this one was just a slugfest. We ended up losing, unfortunately. 16-17 in the 10th inning.
In the 10th?
Yeah. So we went to extra innings on this one because it was tied after 7.
Okay, fair enough.
So we started the game off scoring 4 runs in the first inning. Doan responded with 2. Some of those runs came off the bat of Bronx Lewis. I mentioned he was very dangerous down the stretch. He had 2 at-bats in the game.
Right.
Which you think, through 10 innings, that seems like not very much for a starting hitting guy.
Right.
But the reason he only had 2 at-bats technically was because he had 2 hits, both home runs. So his first 2 at-bats were home runs. Then they walked him 5 times.
That's a force to be reckoned with. If you have to be walked 5 times.
Intentionally walked.
That's intentional. Yeah, that's intentional.
So while he only had 2 at-bats, he had 7 plate appearances, which makes a little bit more sense through 10 innings. So he was extremely dangerous all game long. I mean, even they don't want to throw to him, but it's still a free guy on base every time he comes up to the plate.
Exactly.
So despite him only getting really 2 chances to swing, he had 2 home runs. Andrew Fetty also had a home run. Then we had RBIs, 3 from Bronx, 4 from Jake Watson, 2 from Luke Wilson, 2 from Jaden Jordahl, 2 from Andrew Fetty, and 2 from Jimmy Bloomberg. Hmm. So an incredibly productive offensive day. We had 18 hits, 16 runs. We left 12 on base, which usually you're looking to keep that below 10, but just the nature of the game with how many hits we were getting, it's not too bad. It was actually kind of the difference in this one, though, because Doan beat us by 1 run and had us beat by 1 on the left on base. They only had 11 there, so they were just a little bit more clutch in that. The way we lost also was pretty sad. So we went up by 3 in the 10th inning. Then they tied it up with 3 more to make it 16-16. And then we had a throwing error, which led to the last run being scored for Doan. It was...
Please tell me. So you told me it was a walk-off?
Yeah, it was a walk-off.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
no.
So they hit it. He was in between first and second base. Our guy grabbed it and missed the throw to first, which let the guy on third then
go
run home. Yeah.
That hurts. That hurts indeed. That
it
really
does.
Hurts.
Yeah. It was a rough day, honestly, for both pitching staffs. We used 6 pitchers throughout the game. They used 8. So both teams really leaning on the bullpen in this one. No one really able to figure it out. We started with Harrison Hoikvam. He pitched just 1 inning, allowed 4 hits and 3 runs. So then he got pulled. DJ Anderson came in, showed some promise at the start, but in his 2.1 innings, gave up 3 runs, 5 hits. He struck out 3. Sam Bespoyasny, he came in for 2.2 innings. He was probably the best of the bunch. Gave up 4 hits and 2 runs in his 2.2. Struck out 2. And then Trent Schlimm came in for just basically 1 out, gave up 3 runs. Warren Rose came in for 2.1 innings, 3 hits, 2 runs given up, struck out 4. And then Brody Smear gets the loss. He pitched 0.2 innings. So he pitched in the 10th inning, gave up those 4 runs. And that's what ended up doing it. Like I mentioned, Doan also struggled with the pitching. They pulled their pitcher kind of the same time we did, the first one at least, after the first inning. So they used 8 overall. We used 6. But yeah, I mean, it's good to see that we can compete against a top 10 national team.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, we took 2 off Doan earlier in the season in that 4-game series. So definitely nothing to, you know, turn your nose up at too bad. I believe we still do qualify for the national tournament because baseball, they get 2 qualifiers from the GPAC. And so Doan won the league.
Yep.
So they got that automatic qualifying spot.
Punched their ticket.
Yep. And then they also won the tournament.
Yes.
So then the second automatic berth to nationals goes to the second place of the tournament. And so we would have got it either way because we were second place in both the league and the tournament.
Yep.
So that second automatic berth does go to Concordia. So we will see them playing on May 11th in the national baseball tournament in the opening round. That is still to be determined, you know, who we're going to play. What the matchup is going to be, where we're even going to be playing.
So you're saying so it's obvious, so official that they are going to like...
They should be going to nationals. We are unsure, though, of where and when exactly.
Okay, so at least that's a good thing to yes. have as much. We just don't know who our opponent is. All exactly. I know is that I'll try to be biased here, but I think that they can keep up with them if they can keep up with the number 10 ranked team in the country in GPEG with Doan. I think that they have a shot to, you know, make a run. make a run to do what they need to do.
Absolutely. And we've shown throughout the season that we can be nationally ranked in certain areas. For a while this season, our pitching staff was ranked number one in the country for strikeouts
Absolutely.
Per nine innings. Alex Johnson was leading the nation in strikeouts per nine individually as well. And as we look forward to Nationals, we'll also look back at the baseball all-conference awards. We got quite a lot of them. So we had Alex Johnson earn the GPAC Pitcher of the Year award.
Hey,
so,
okay.
So, I mean, that was to be expected with how well he's been playing all season long. But then we also had some other first-team, second-team, and honorable mention baseball players. So Bronx Lewis, okay. You know, he had a standout tournament on the hitting side, also doing a good job in the outfield. We had Luke Wilson, the outfielder, also first team. Jake Watson, the catcher, and Alex Johnson, of course, pitching on that first team. And then our relief pitcher, Warren Rose, he was a first team member. On the second team, we had Kaden Bugarski in there as a pitcher. That was our only second team inclusion, but then we had quite a few honorable mentions as well. We had Trent Schlimm, Jaden Joral, Carson Burnett, and then Sam Bespoyasny, all in there at honorable mention. So, you know, really cool to see. Is that about 10 honorable mentions? So right, looking really solid going into the national tournament, and we wish them the best of luck. Of course, we won't have a podcast covering that, but be sure to check out the CUNE Sower website to see more about that, as well as the Concordia Athletic website, because they'll have stories. Keep up with the Bulldog Athletic Twitter to see more about all of that action.
Yep, indeed.
But yeah, moving to the women's side of the bat and the mound, we've got the softball team, who unfortunately do have their season ended.
Ah, man.
In the conference tournament. They came in right around the middle of the pack, so they were kind of a middle team going into that tournament on their side of the bracket. Opened up the tournament with a 4-5 loss against Morningside, brought it back with a 10-7 win against Briarcliff, and then lost 4-6 against Dort. So all really close games. Unfortunate to see them lose those two. And in baseball and softball, the GPAC tournament, it is double elimination in both. So they lost that first game, moved to the loser's bracket, won that first game, then came up against Dort, in which they lost. But we'll just walk you through a couple of the highlights of that game we won against Briarcliff.
Go ahead, man.
We were down one after the second inning, but then a really strong third and fourth inning carried us to that win. We scored 5 runs in the third inning, 4 runs in the fourth. Some good offensive production from Kira Ferder and Toby Topp. They both had doubles. Toby Topp had 2 RBIs. Mary Beth Hart had 2 RBIs. Taryn Ganstrom had 1. Aubriana Kreiser had 2. And Bailey Merritt came in with 3 RBIs to lead the team in that stat. Decent day on the pitcher's mound. Kaylee Dennison pitched 4.1 innings. She gets the win. She's 14-10 on the season. She walked 3, allowed 5 runs, and struck out 3. Kirsten Lynn came in for 2.1 innings, gave up 5 hits, 2 runs, struck out 1. And then Brooke Moore came in for the save. 0.1 innings pitched, no hits allowed, no runs allowed. So came in, had that perfect save right there, and ended up getting that 10-7 win against Briarcliff. And unfortunately, that tight 4-6 loss against Dort is what ended up ending the season. We were leading through 2 innings, but then they got a run in the third and 3 runs in the fourth.
Right.
And then 2 runs in the sixth was just too much for Concordia to come past. RBIs from Avery O'Boyle, Lacey Josoff, and Grace Zaug. And then pitching from Kaylee Dennison. She had a decently solid day. 6 innings pitched, gave up 9 hits, 6 runs, struck out 5. So you can't really blame the loss on her. She didn't have a perfect day by any means, but gave up 6 runs. That's not too bad. It's just the offense was not quite there on that game.
Exactly.
So Concordia softball, the season has ended. 23-20 overall, 11-10 in the GPAC. Definitely a step up from where they were last season.
Right.
So definitely some positives to take off of this one. They have a pretty young squad as well. Some of their best players are freshmen, sophomores, and they had a decent representation in the GPAC all-conference teams. We had freshman Mary Beth Hart get first team.
Congratulations.
Along with sophomore Kier Farragher. So our two top inclusions on the all-conference team, both underclassmen, a freshman and a sophomore. So that bodes pretty well for the future. On the second team, we had senior Taryn Ganstrom. We also had senior Toby Topp and junior Kaylee Dennison. So, you know, two seniors going out, but then Kaylee Dennison hopefully coming back for her senior year. And then our honorable mentions were Aubriana Kreiser, Lacey Joseph, Grace Zaug, Avery O'Boyle, and Grace McGuire.
Right.
So, yeah, not too much more to say about the softball season, except that it's, like I said, it's a step up from last year. They definitely showed some promise throughout the year, had some big wins, and then have a young squad that'll definitely be competitive next year as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely, indeed.
And then do you want to talk to us a little bit about the track and field, the conference meet?
The good thing, yes, I would. The good news and the bad news is.
Yes.
Well, you want the good news first or you want the bad news?
Let's start with the good news.
Good news is that Adriana Rodantel is not only the best athlete of the meet, she actually was National Athlete of the Year or Week as well, too.
There we go.
That's the good news. Bad news is that Doan won both GPAC championships on the men and women's side.
Ah.
Yes.
They tend to do that.
Yes. Now, before I go into, obviously, the championships, Doan won men's track team for Doan, who has solidified winning in first place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for our team, Concordia, the guy got fifth place. But the way they got fifth place is because they were in fourth place at the moment until the last event.
They were
going against Mount Marty, was under them, behind them. It was the 4x4. Mount Marty won the 4x4 to pass Concordia up to be fourth place. Then they got fifth.
Dang.
The girls were solidified. The women were solidified in third place the whole time during the race.
Not much of a gap between not close to second, not close to fourth, just hanging out in the middle there?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much. Now, obviously, we have a total of six championships here in GPAC championships.
Mm-hmm.
Starting on the men's side, we have three of the men. Starting off with Emery Gutz throwing a javelin of 205 feet 8 inches.
Dang.
Then, obviously, starting off with Johnny Jerkin winning the race walk with 21 minutes 34.19 seconds.
Dang.
Then,
and that's his fourth GPAC championship as well. He has two in the outdoor race walk and then two in the indoor race walk.
Yep.
And you mentioned Emery got that javelin championship. That's his second one in a row. He got the conference title in that last year as well, threw about 5 meters further this year, though.
Absolutely. And then a surprise one, Trey Robertson winning the 3,000-meter steeplechase.
Wow.
With a run of 9 minutes, 38.21 seconds.
Ooh.
Then we have for the women. Obviously, I'm going to get started with Adriana. She won the 100-meter hurdles, the 400-meter hurdles. For the 100-meter hurdles, she ran a 13.14.
Mm-hmm.
Then for the 400-meter hurdles, 58.36. She also won the 4x4 with the women's 4x4 as well, which concluded Kayla Kirchner, Tayden Kirchner, Addison McCarter, and Adriana Rodentel as they ran a 3 minutes 47.14, which was a school record.
Oh, awesome.
It was a school record. So,
and it's the A standard for national qualification.
It is. That's what it is right there for sure.
And Adriana, her 100 and 400-meter hurdles, those were conference meet records as well. And Adriana, it wasn't even her best race either. It was still very solid from her, a 13.14, but her best time this season is actually a 13.04. So we know she still even has a little bit in the tank.
She does. Oh, absolutely. There's no question about that. I'm not trying to be biased as her team as much. She has that mentality of, you know, getting better and getting faster when she's going against any athlete on her competition in that race. It's just when she's at that mark before that first hurdle, she's like in her own mind saying, like, it's just me and that hurdle. There's nothing else, and just goes with the flow.
Yeah.
Like, she's in that flow state, dude.
Yeah, she is.
And I'm not trying to be going crazy. I'm just like, she actually is.
Oh, for sure. And she leads the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics by over half a second in the 100-meter hurdles.
Ooh, that's going to be
early. Just crazy. Like, imagine someone leading the 100-meter dash by half a second. That's like an eternity in the sprints.
Yeah, that is.
It's almost 0.6 seconds from her to second place. And then in the 400-meter hurdles, it's actually less of a gap. She leads the NAIA by 0.4 seconds.
0.4?
In the 400-meter hurdles.
Wow.
Yeah. So she has a bigger gap in the 100 than the 400.
That speed.
It just shows how crazy she is at that 100-meter hurdles.
That speed tells you, man. Speed kills.
Speed does kill, especially in track and field.
Absolutely. So now, now that the conference is over, there's still chance, the Twilight Meet. Mm-hmm. The Twilight Meet is just the last chance of trying to make it to Nationals. Now, that's happening to obviously on Friday, May 8th, and Saturday, May 9th. Mm-hmm. So before I get going, the first one on May 8th is going to be here at Concordia, and then the one on May 9th is going to be at Kearney.
Okay.
So before we obviously go into our next topic, here are the people at Concordia that hit the standards.
Okay.
Again, reminder, A standard, it's like a plane. A standard, you got the ticket. You're already going. B standard, you're on that wait list, standby to see if some people are going to back out or they're going to, or if coaches would like to bring you as well.
Yeah, or if they just don't have enough people. Like if they don't have, you know, 20 athletes who hit the A standard, then they start pulling from that B standard, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So getting started, the women's 4x4, going. Nathan Baldwin, hammer throw with 196 feet, 7 inches. Harper Botch, hammer throw, 178 feet, 9 inches. Emma Groots, go with javelin. Jack Heiberger, 5,000-meter race walk. Luke Hamming, 5,000-meter race walk. He hit the A standard.
There we go.
He hit the A standard.
Yeah, you mentioned Johnny Jerkin won that meet, but we actually went 1-2-3 with those three guys.
Exactly. So we got three race walkers going. Then Addison McCarter, she's going for triple jump. Even though she didn't have her best day at conference, she will still keep going because her best is 39 feet, 6.5 inches. Then Adrian is going for, obviously, the 4x4, the 100-meter, and the 400-meter hurdles. That's three right there. Then for the B standard, we have the women's 4x1, the men's 4x8, Nathan Baldwin for discus, Matthew for javelin, Josie Noble for the 400-meter hurdles, Addie Reimer for the high jump, and McKenna Starkey with the high jump. And actually, there are some meets for the for multis too. And we got Hank Moore, who's ranked 16 in the NAIA with 6,373 points.
All right.
So he has a chance of going to Nationals for the decathlon, which is going to be very, it's very tough to do. You have to, I mean, think about the multis. They're doing a lot.
Yeah.
And he's doing that on Nationals too. There's a better chance that like he's going to be tired and exhausted after this final moment.
Yeah.
So for those who are going to try to compete for this last chance Twilight Meet, good luck. And hopefully you make it. And for those who will be going to Nationals, because we won't be covering this in our podcast, good luck and do your best, Concordia, because it's going to be a tough challenge as much for it. But I think we're going to get some, maybe some All-Americans for Nationals, though.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking forward to it. And then speaking of the last event we're going to cover for the 2025-2026 Talking Dog season, we have got tennis. And unfortunately, it is a bit of a sad story. Both teams ended up losing in the GPAC title match to Morningside.
So they lost two games in their whole season?
They lost. They both had lost to Morningside earlier in the year, but those were the only GPAC teams that they lost to.
Huh.
Beat Doan in the semifinal. We mentioned that on the last episode, beating Doan.
You were there, right? Didn't you go up there to the...
I did go to Omaha to watch these games against Morningside, and they will just go in the order that they happened. So they started off with the women's tennis championships, and the doubles were pretty one-sided. Both our ones and our twos got beat 6-1 and then 6-0. Our threes were losing 5-2, but they didn't finish it just because once Morningside got to those two doubles wins, they got the doubles point.
Yep.
So Alexa Richard and Nina Milic did not get to finish theirs, but they had a chance to win it. They were down a few points, but still in it. We had one win in the singles. We had Chikira Durman defeated Lara Heinrich 6-2 and 6-2.
Okay.
And I was there, I was watching, and she was quite dominant in that one. You could tell the Morningside girl was getting a little frustrated, but Chikira definitely had her number in this one. They were in that number two spot. Mariana Milano, she ended up getting beaten at that number one spot. She had a close 6-4. First one in which she lost and then lost 6-0 in the second one. Again, our three and our four were unfinished, but they were pretty close as well. 6-4 and 5-0 losses for a 6-4 loss for Shane Durman, and then it was 5-0 in the second set. And then Alana Lopez Pagan lost just 6-4 in the first one and then didn't get to start that second one. Kaylee Bailey defeated Alexa Richert 6-0 and 6-2. And then Nina Milic was beaten by Stephanie Simplicio 6-1 and 6-1.
Oh, man.
So the women only got that one win from Chikira. Definitely showed competitiveness throughout the whole thing. Definitely weren't like completely outclassed by any means. They ended up getting some game wins in there, but just not enough to take down the number 16 nationally ranked Morningside. And so I believe that one does end the season for the women. Despite them having a really solid record at 16-6 overall, 6-1 in the GPAC, with a win over a really solid some ranked teams throughout the season.
Right.
Unfortunately, we're not able to qualify for nationals automatically or get that at-large berth. So the women's season is over, just like the men's season is also over.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the men's season is also over.
Oh, you have got to be kidding me.
Yeah, despite, again, a really solid season, 17-5 overall on the year, ended up losing to number 14 nationally Morningside in the GPAC title match, and unfortunately were not able to get that berth to nationals. Ended up losing 4-0 in the championship game. In doubles, it was pretty close. We lost that first one 6-3, and our ones in doubles are Leo Lopez and Danny Caballeros. They lost 6-3 in that one. Then our doubles, our twos, Hugo Fuentes and Nick Velders were losing 5-3. That one didn't finish. And then Ben Chisholm and Onion Gadget, they lost 6-1 for that second doubles loss, which gave Morningside the doubles point. And then definitely some close ones in singles. I think we definitely would have gotten some wins if they had let them finish, but you know, Morningside got to 4 points, and then they ended the other matches. So Hugo Fuentes lost to Marcos Mendez 6-2 and 6-2 at the one spot. Then at the two, Nick Velders had a 6-0 win in his first one and was tied 3-3 in the second one. So I think he would have gotten that win. Of course, you know, we'll never know.
Yeah, we'll never know.
But I personally think that he would have gotten it. He was definitely playing well in that one. And then Danny Caballeros, he won his first one 6-4, mm-hmm. and then was losing his second one 4-1. So that one seemed to be a very even one from what I saw. So you never know, could have gotten a win in that one. Leo Lopez was beaten by Jesse Girth 6-1 and 6-2. Ben Chisholm was beaten by Santiago Minitia, something like that, 6-1 and 6-2. And then Onion Gadget, he was beating Gabriel Whiston 6-0 in the first one, and then 4-4, it was not finished. So there are three that had a very realistic chance of going Concordia's way. I think Nick would have won his. Danny, that one's more of a toss-up, but he definitely could have. And then Onion Gadget was well on his way to winning that last one. So I think for sure, you know, a 5-2, maybe even a 4-3 out of that one. So 4-0 definitely doesn't tell the whole story of this one. The energy was electric in there for this guy's one, though, especially. Very loud the whole time, especially in the doubles. So it was a fun atmosphere to be there.
Wait, isn't tennis supposed to be quiet the whole time?
Just during the serves, really, and during the active point. But like after a point is scored, then you can kind of go crazy.
Sure. I had to make sure real quick.
Yeah, the main time you're supposed to be quiet is while they're serving.
Okay.
After that, you're not supposed to yell something while they're about to hit. But you can like be talking and stuff, and then once the point's over, you can be as loud as you want.
Reminds me of your GPAC game where we were at home for the championship. We were losing our mind every time y'all scored or mm-hmm. just did anything.
That was a fun one. We ended up getting the win over Morningside in soccer, but unfortunately, the tennis team could not get it done. Of course, you know, Morningside nationally ranked on the men's and the women's side of tennis, so definitely a tough ask. And like I mentioned, the men also do not get that berth to nationals, so their season is over. And as our season is over, I'm just going to give a quick overview of what is left for Concordia Athletics this year. So we have baseball. We have the national tournament coming up soon. That starts on May 11th, but again, not sure when we're going to get a game, not sure if we're actually playing on the 11th or if that's just kind of that's when games can start. But then we also have track and field. We have that Concordia Twilight Meet, and then we also have that UNK Twilight Meet, like you mentioned.
Yep.
And then May 20th to 22nd is the NAIA Track and Field Championships.
Of Nationals.
Yes, then the National Track and Field Meet. So that is those are the only sports that are still playing, track and field and baseball. So as we close out this season of Talking Dogs, we wish them the best of luck. Thank you, Aaron, for coming on the podcast and taking over from Cohen. It's been a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, like let me say, man, it's been a pleasure, bro. I mean, it's been a pleasure being here for like these senior years, much where you saw my progression. You saw, obviously, the first time we met, it was literally, obviously, I want to be a play-by-play commentator. Mm-hmm. You said, come to join the Talking Dogs. And I said, yes, without hesitation. It's been fun talking about sports. And, you know, it's going to be a little bit more of emotional when I walk across that stage just as much, man. Like, I'm on a mission, man. I mean, it's going to be really hectic to, you know, walk away from it as we just get getting started, though. But it's been absolute fun.
No, it's been great. I'm going to miss having you on the podcast as well. But the show does go on next season. And as you graduate, we're getting a new co-host in here. It's going to be Keith Syke. He's going to do a great job. He's a freshman on the track and field team. So he's going to come in as a sophomore next season and take over, fill some big shoes.
I think he's going to be fine.
For sure.
He's going to be fine. I mean, he made that tennis story, or he made that once. Yeah, he made that story for obviously Soul Ray. It actually was really good.
Yeah, he's a really strong writer. Definitely good communication skills on the written side. We'll see how he is on the Talking Dogs podcast. I'm sure he can do some broadcasting
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
So he'll be solid. And then
he got you for a guide.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'll teach him everything I know, and
exactly.
he'll probably teach me a few things as well.
Yep.
He's really solid on that baseball and basketball, all those kinds of things. Runs track and field. So just like you.
Yep.
So, well, not too much of a change, but I think that is going to be all for Season 3, Episode 26 of Talking Dogs, closing out the 2025-2026 Talking Dogs calendar year, or school year. So make sure to follow us on Spotify and at CUNE Sower website. So obviously we're not going to have any more podcasts coming up this year, but this one should be on video. So we're starting that up for this episode, and we're going to have that going forward into next year. But from Kyle Brick, Aaron Spivey, and everyone else at the CUNE Sower newspaper, have a good day and go Dogs!